So let's step back to pick up some of the songs we didn't get to hear in a little more of the interview, some new material. So let's go right now into Christina Jacobson and Friends.
Okay, so we're going to do the title track now for the solo album, which is called Three Roses. Daddy was a godly man, a Baptist through and through. Seems the rules did not apply when he found someone new. Looking through the stained glass darkly, fragments all I see. As a child, I wondered why he left our family. With all those pretty souls to save, he had so much to do. But God's up there and we're down here, and Dad, I needed you. You left three roses, yellow, pink, and red. Came home from school when I learned you'd left. To me you hung the moon, the sunset, and the dawn. But you drifted further out of orbit till you were gone, gone, gone. Pink was for my sister, for mama a red farewell. Girl, and that's how our family up there and we're down here, and there still souls to save. He left three roses, yellow, pink, red. 9 years old, my heart, how it bled. You see, he hung the moon, the sunset, and the dawn. But he drifted further out of orbit till he was gone, 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 till he was gone, 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 till he was gone, gone, gone. So this next song is called Man Grown Old, and it was inspired by the life of my maternal grandfather, who fought in the Korean War and got wounded and had surgery and lost part of his stomach and came back and suffered from severe PTSD. And so this song was written from the perspective of my grandmother and what it might have been like to have her husband come home a changed man. His name was Jesse Price, and her name is Virginia Rose.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Sit here in my kitchen. You've been gone so long. Forgot the way you are. sip your coffee from a spoon and skim the paper for bad news. Still in battle mode, civilian life comes back slowly. Startled by the dump truck, no, it's not a mortar shell. Oh, my military man, when will you be deployed again? Old house made new, I still remember falling for you. Our love, sweet and gentle. Nothing's wrong until you're gone. Your old high school buddies, they stop by to say hello. Earnest but awkward, you share a few beers, but I'm the only one who ever sees your tears. Old house made nothing's wrong until you're gone. Young man, growing old before my eyes. Wish I could take it back in time. Old house made
Not everyone looks at country music and playing country music as going to the dark side. But Christina Jacobson, you actually do. So we're really privileged to have someone who plays this tradition, embraces this tradition, does it with this authority, but considers it the dark side compared to where you came from musically. So let's go back to Scandinavia or to Venezuela or to Baroque music. It doesn't matter where we start, but how do these things get you to the dark side?
Ooh, okay. So I grew up in Western Massachusetts, and the community in which I grew up was decidedly not into country music. And so I had a new friend come to our school, and she was from West Virginia, and I played at her house one afternoon, and her mom put on a cassette of the Judds. And I absolutely fell in love, the tight harmonies, the feel, the really, this is like one of their really rocking albums. And I was hooked. I absolutely fell in love with country. And so it became like my guilty pleasure. And I would listen to it in college when I was cleaning my room or things like that, but not publicly. So it took me a while. And I was studying classical flute at that time. I was a flute performance major. And I don't even think it really occurred to me at that time that I might want to perform and write and sing country. I was really, really immersed in the classical world and wanted to be a professional classical flutist and take that entire route. So, so that was really the sort of genesis of falling in love with it. And then fast forward a number of years, and I moved to Chicago in 2006 after some time in New York and some other places. And then I started learning the lap steel guitar. And I think that sort of started giving me a voice in country.
Now, lap steel has a broader tradition than just country.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's all over gospel music.
Yes.
There's incredible experimental things that are done. But for most people, especially people with a classical background, the lap steel means one form and one form only. Was it, what made you fall in love with that instrument?
For me, the iconic country lead instruments have always been some form of steel guitar and fiddle. So it was sort of between those two. For a while, I thought about dobro. And then I came to understand after listening a lot more that that was really more specifically affiliated with bluegrass. And really what I was obsessed with was early country and honky-tonk. I was introduced to Merle Haggard when I was living in New York. And that was completely mind-blowing and, you know, led to me forming the Merlettes and a Merle Haggard, all-girl Merle Haggard honky-tonk band and cover band and sort of doing that. So I lived in North Carolina for 6 years, and I know that some of the twanging of my vowels came from that time. And, of course, my mom was born in Athens, Georgia. Her name is Helen Jane. And so that's something that it's really interesting. As a kid growing up in Western Mass, I was ridiculed for my diphthongs, for my twang, and so I eliminated it. And it was really not until after college that I sort of became more comfortable embracing that linguistically. So it was also sort of coming into my own and growing into that. But yeah, as far as the vocal style goes, I think it's really partly it's from listening to the people that I'm absolutely obsessed with. Loretta Lynn, Merle Haggard, Kitty Wells, George Jones. So those are some of the influences. Lefty Frizzell, Keith Whitley, I think are some of the sounds that I feel like were I listened to at a time where I was really experimenting with how I wanted to sing and how I wanted to sound. I love doing vocal transitions from a chest voice to a head voice. I love playing with that. So for me, it's also a form of play, like to see, you know, what domain I want to dwell in when I'm singing a song. And when I listen to people doing that effectively with their voice, it makes me cry. I find it so effective and so moving. And so I think part of me wants to be able to do that with my own voice when I can.
How about the writing? I know there's a contest somewhere about write a bad Springsteen song, because it's so easy to write a bad Springsteen song. And
yeah.
There must be something similar with country music, or, you know, write a bad weepy country ballad. But that's not what these songs are. These songs are, they're just fresh to me.
Hmm.
They don't sound contrived.
Hmm.
So there's got to be another head going at work here, I would think.
I mean, I think actually writing a good country song is really hard. I think, of course, there's these stereotypes about country songs being three chords in the truth, or you know, everything spelled backwards. You lose your dog, you lose your truck, you lose all. And I can see that, and there is a certain sort of contrivance in country. But I actually think one of the beauties of writing a song that is country or country-like is that you have these severe constraints in terms of format, and then you have to figure out how to say something hopefully original, hopefully fresh within those constraints. And so the challenge is actually that you know you have this incredibly tight frame, and then you have to figure out how to say something meaningful within that. And I love that challenge. So for me, that's super, super satisfying. And then some of my songs I hear as, perhaps more folky in nature. My dad's a folk singer, and when we grew up singing all these Norwegian folk songs together, and that's how I learned to speak Norwegian, was through singing songs with him. And so then there's this sort of folk thing that comes in, and then I get to maybe finger pick or do a song like that. So I love the freedom to sort of go back and forth between those two things and then find out where I might fit in the middle.
All right. Okay, so this is Miss Loretta Lynn again. Tribute song to Loretta.
But not the Towns Van Zandt song, Loretta.
No. I mean, you can't write enough songs about Loretta. It's going to write forever. Okay. All right.
Piercing blue eyes, miner's daughter up from Butcher Holler. Hauling coal, hauling wood, writing songs as best you could. Miss Loretta Lynn, sing it sassy, sing it raw, sing it real, sing it downright brassy. I know how you're feeling, but you keep right on trucking.
Uh-huh.
On the warpath, goes to Fisk City looking knocked down, pretty, wearing white stripes to Portland, Oregon. Wrinkle reduction, liposuction, still my connection is Miss Loretta Lynn. Singing sassy, singing raw, singing real, singing downright brassy. I know how you feel, you keep right on trucking. Miss Loretta Lynn, singing sassy, singing raw, singing real, singing how you feel. Miss Loretta Lynn.
This is a song a lot of times I play lead on steel guitar. So this is Kitty Wells, It Wasn't God Who Made Honky Tonk Angels. Okay. One, two. As I sit here tonight, the jukebox playing that tune about the wild side of life. As I listen to the words you are saying, it brings memories of when I was a trusting wife. Because it wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels, as you said in the words of your song. Too many times married men think they're still single, and has caused many a good girl to go wrong. Let's hear some guitar. Yes, indeed. is on us women. 'Cause it's not true that only you men feel the pain. Yes, and from the start, most every heart that's ever broken was because there always was a man to blame. Right, ladies? Because it wasn't God who made honky-tonk angels, as you said in the words of your song. Too many times married men think they're still single, and has caused many a good girl to go wrong. We're gonna tag it. Yeah, and has caused many a good girl to go wrong.
Tell me about the song Inez, because Inez is a folk ballad. At least it sounds like a folk ballad. Mm. It also sounds incredibly personal. Mm. And how are you taking these things and putting them into these constraints?
Yeah. Yeah. Inez is the first song I ever wrote.
So there were no constraints, possibly.
Yeah, perhaps. I knew that every once in a while it needed to rhyme. And I think that was pretty much the constraint I had when I wrote it. It was inspired by a picture. And it's a picture of a woman, the first woman that I learned to call Mom or Shema in Navajo. She was my supervisor when I worked as a ranger at Canyon de Chelly National Monument on Navajo Nation when I was 17. And I was learning to speak Navajo, and she guided me through absolutely everything. She was my go-to, and in terms of how to navigate as a non-native on Navajo Nation in an appropriate and respectful way. And then also in terms of...
You mean how to do it without making every mistake first?
Sure. Okay. Yeah. She was absolutely my mentor. And then I came to learn that she has this amazing life story. And one of those stories is that she went on a program that's known as the Lamanite Placement Program or the Mormon Placement Program, which is something that for Navajos of a certain generation is very common. Maybe up to 10% of Navajos over the age of 45 went on it. It ended in the early 1970s, but it was a program that was run by the Church of Latter-day Saints, where Navajo families or Navajo children were taken in by usually Anglo families, often in Utah, but also in surrounding states, but LDS identified families. And then the Navajo kid would live with these families oftentimes for a number of years, all through high school and sometimes before that. And initially, ideologically, there were all these crazy things associated with it, with like the idea that if the kid lived with an Anglo family long enough that their skin would actually lighten and become more white. And so she went on placement and she has fostered, she refers to them as her foster parents. She was very close to her foster parents. And so that was part of her life story was the Lamanite Placement Program. And she's just this incredible woman who's so full of love and so quick to laugh. She's Water's Edge Clan or Tapaha. And she likes to joke that that's the Beach Boys Clan. That's Ash. And so she has this incredible sense of humor. And then she also has this real, really legitimate and fierce sort of anger and intensity about her, based on her life experiences. So I wanted to try and capture that bittersweetness about her life in the song. No.
Inez, big smile, crooked teeth, white t-shirt, and a ranger's watchful eyes. Foster parents in Brigham City, stolen generation, black hair and white lines, a Latter-day Saint. She drinks pop and whiskey. She loves spam, mutton stew with neshchiji. Sailor's gut, she's as calloused as they come. Oh, Inez, she's American. She said, I'm proud to be Homeland Security, fighting terror since 1492. Oh, but our history is bittersweet. But this I know, she said, I'm proud to be a Navajo. Born in Cameron, Arizona, trading post, selling Navajo rugs, boarding school, ugly marks left upon her body. Hell, she's bitter, but she's also full of love. She's the backbone of homeland security, fighting terror since 1492. Oh, but our history is bittersweet. But this I know, she said, I'm proud to be a Navajo. Who came first? What does that mean? Politicians fight over how we'll defend our homeland under siege. She said, "Cha, we've already been doing that for centuries." She's proud to be homeland security, fighting terror since 1492. But our history is bittersweet. But this I know, I'm proud to be Dene.
My honky-tonk band, Merlettes, is playing a double bill with the Wildwood Band on the 5th of March, and that's also at Outpost Performance Space. That's a Saturday, and that's at 7:30. And then you can find all of my gigs, both solo and with the band, listed on my webpage, and that's ChristinaJacobsonMusic.com.
Christina with a K.
Christina with a K, and then Jacobson, Danish spelling, so it's S-E-N, J-A-C-O-B-S-E-N, music.com. And so you can find all the information there. And then I'm also on SoundCloud and Vimeo. There's some videos on Vimeo and Facebook and Twitter.
You're also at the University of New Mexico,
yes.
Where you have two specialties in music and in anthropology. Tell me about one of the projects where you actually bring those two things together, which also, interestingly enough, involves the pedal steel and country music.
You mean in the form of the Honky Tonk Ensemble, or?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I co-lead the UNM, the first ever UNM Honky Tonk Ensemble. This is our second semester. And I lead it with a fabulous local musician, Byron Ripley. And so the students played two off-campus performances last semester. And then we also played on KUNM for the Pledge Drive, which was really fun in Studio A. And yeah, I mean, what an incredible delight. We cap the class at 10 students, and we mentor through students through the art form that I believe is playing really good, tight honky-tonk music. I think the stereotype or the idea is that learning country is super easy because harmonically it's simple, right? Three chords, four if you're lucky, if you have a major 2-7 chord in there. But in fact, stylistically, it takes years to learn how to play a really, really tasteful, subtle country lead. Right, on a Fender Telecaster or like the leads that Alex was just playing in the songs we were doing. And so the idea is that through doing it, that they gain an appreciation for A, how hard it is, and hopefully B, gain an appreciation for its beauty. I see country as a form of working class verbal art, and I'm obsessed with it.
Well, speaking of working class verbal art, it's also rather ubiquitous in the Navajo homeland. Even though one imagines that most of the people who are real fans of it would be in their 60s and over, it's still going strong in that area. And you're actually doing field research on some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Putting together your music and
astrology. Absolutely. So I did a dissertation, which is now going to be a book coming out in the fall, called Indian Cowboys, and it's looking at music and language and country music on Navajo Nation in particular. And so I spent 2.5 years singing and playing with Navajo country western bands on Navajo Nation and also in border towns. And it's absolutely a really, really popular form of music on Navajo Nation, as many folks in Albuquerque know. But my last count, when I was living on the nation about a year and a half ago, there's about 60 active country western bands for a population of 330,000 citizens, roughly. That's on and off res. So yeah, it's incredibly, it's so popular that sometimes a form of rebelling is to not play country. That's the tabula rasa against which you demarcate yourself, against which you rebel. So yeah. And this is going to be the last song with Alex on steel, and then we're going to segue to a couple songs on acoustic guitar with him. I just want to say for the record, I'm so excited to be in studio with Alex and Meredith. It's so much fun. We're having fun. Back to sitting, summer living, hazy day. Cares away, accordion, droning, steel guitar moaning, fiddles twinning, and grandpa grinning. Louisiana hayride, Elvis's first drive, Grand Old Opry with D. Ford Bailey, Chicago barn dance. If you stood half a chance from Bristol, Tennessee to South Kakalaki, burning Dalhart croons into your heart. Yeah, red-haired Foley loves you so dearly. Lefty Frizzell, he's ornery as hell. Kitty and Minnie, Loretta and Dolly. Louisiana hayride, Elvis's first giant grand with D. Ford Bailey, Chicago barn dance. If you stood half a chance from Bristol, Tennessee to South Kakalaki. First drive, Grand Old Opry with D. Ford Bailey, Chicago barn dance. If you stood half a chance from Bristol, Tennessee to South Kakalaki. Louisiana hayride, Elvis's first drive, Grand Old Opry with D. Ford Bailey, Chicago barn dance. If you stood half a chance from Bristol, Tennessee to South Kakalaki.
You've been listening to Christina Jacobson and Friends, as recorded live in our own Studio A on the 20th of January. Christina Jacobson is guitar, acoustic, and lead vocal. Her friends, Alex McMahon on pedal steel and acoustic guitar, Meredith Wilder on vocals,